I don't know whether, like me, you're a sports fan. If you are, you will be finding this lockdown and the closure of so many sporting events a real struggle. I don't know how I'm going to survive these next few weeks. I'm just glad that I think the BBC have announced that they're going to be showing some old footage of some great sporting events. So I will be tuning in to those. But if you are a sports fan, you will know that when it comes to different teams or individuals going to play different teams or other individuals, that you can't always play the same way against each team that you play against. So, for example, if a football team maybe is particularly attacking in their style, if they're playing another attacking team, they might decide to change their formation and perhaps become more defensive for a game so that they can get a good result. I know I'm a big cricket fan, and when England go on tour around the world, they will take a team that can best make the best advantage of the conditions that they're going to be playing in. So in Australia, you'll take some fast bowlers. In India or the subcontinent, you'll make sure you take some spin bowlers to play. So you can't always play the same way against the teams that you're up against. You have to adapt. And what we find as we move on in the book of Acts, today we're going to be in Acts chapter 17, what we find is that the Apostle Paul is going to have to adapt to the people that he's meeting. You see, so far, this is a map of the journey that Paul's been on. So far he's preached and he's shared the gospel in places like Jerusalem and Lystra and Antioch and Philippi and Thessalonica. And so far he's given a pretty straightforward gospel message to each of the groups that he's met. But now, and in Acts chapter 17, we find him in Athens. And the way that he's shared the gospel so far isn't going to work in Athens. It's a very, very different culture. We're now 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem. And it's a different culture and a different group of people that he's talking to. You see, the Athenians are drenched in ancient philosophies, and these philosophies have conditioned them as to how they see the world. These ancient philosophies show them what is reasonable and unreasonable when it comes to life. These ancient philosophies show them really what life is for. It informs them when they think about their life and how they should live a good life. And these philosophies also show them how they should approach gods, the different gods that they had, and how they relate to those gods. So this is very much a new team, if you like, that Paul is facing, and he can't simply share the gospel in the way that he has before. And so we come to this great moment in the book of Acts as the new young faith of Christianity comes face to face with these ancient philosophies and the philosophers who expound these thinkings and these philosophies. And so we find Paul starting to talk to them. And so Sally's going to read to us from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. And maybe you want to follow along in your Bibles as well.
Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead.
Thanks, Sally. So straight away you might see there that the way Paul is speaking and starting to share the gospel is so different to how he's done that so far. You know, there's two main groups of philosophers that Paul is talking to here in the Areopagus. The Areopagus was like the highest court in Athens, and it was where people debated really deep questions of life. And so Paul finds himself looking out over the city and debating with two main groups of philosophers. The Epicureans were one group of philosophers. And the Epicureans, one of their key beliefs was that God does exist and the gods do exist, but they're far away. They're unreachable. And so whilst the gods are there, you kind of just get on with life as you best see fit. You don't interact with God. The other groups of philosophers that Paul would have been addressing here were the Stoics, and the Stoics believed that God is present. In fact, they believed that God is in everyone and in everything, but they also believed that God was impersonal. So although God was all around them, you couldn't react to God. You couldn't have a relationship with God. So what does a Christian say to people with these beliefs? Well, we find out what Paul says, and I think he says two key things to these philosophers. And the first thing that Paul addresses is this, is that God cannot be confined. God cannot be confined. Immediately, this would have struck a chord with the Stoics who believed that God was everywhere. And they would have said, yeah, well, we believe that. We believe that God can't be confined. Look at what he says in verse 24. He says this, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. Again, the Stoics would have gone, yeah, you're right, Paul. You're right. God cannot be confined. What a great thing for him to kick off with. But what Paul is saying here straight away is that the God of Jerusalem, 1,500 miles away, who the temple was built for, the God of Jerusalem is the same God of Athens as well. What's true for Jerusalem is true for Athens. It's the same God. He is the Lord of everything, of heaven and of earth. He's the Lord of everywhere. He cannot be confined to that building, that temple in Jerusalem. No, no, no. He is here amongst us. He is everywhere. And you know, it got me thinking as I thought about that this week, that that's good news for us today as well, isn't it? We need to hear that in our homes today. You see, God doesn't live in the building of Frinton Free Church. That's good news, isn't it? He's not here with Sally and I today. He's everywhere. He cannot be confined. And you know what? You are just as able to meet with him in your front room as you are if you were to be prayed for in the front of church here. You are just as able to meet with God on your daily exercise when you're out maybe walking along the seafront or around the streets of Frinton. You're able to meet with God there. You're able to meet with him when you're queuing in the supermarket, keeping your 2 meter distance from everyone around you. You're able to meet with God there. Just as much as you're able to meet with him in church or anywhere else in life. God cannot be confined. We need to hear that, don't we? He's there with you in your homes this morning. I love how David writes in Psalm 139. He says this. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Grab hold of that truth today. There is nowhere you or I can go where God isn't present. We don't need a church building to meet with God. For those of us that are Christians, for those of us that have invited Jesus into our lives, he lives inside of us. He's with us everywhere we go, and his presence fills the earth as well. I love the language that David uses here, because he uses the highest heavens and also the depths as well. It's almost like David is saying to us, in the great moments of life, in the moments where we're happiest, in those high moments, God is there. When we're celebrating, when we're laughing and joking. And for some of us in our homes this week, we would have felt like that. We've had some great laughs and we've joked maybe with our families, either online or those who are present. Maybe we've watched some great stuff or listened to some good stuff and it's made us laugh. And life's been good and we're not finding the lockdown too hard. God is there. Recognize that he's there in those good moments. But David also says, if I go down to the depths, if I make my bed in the depths, you are there as well. And for others of us at the moment, this has been a real struggle. This lockdown has just meant isolation and being cut off. And we realize maybe we haven't got the resources we thought we had emotionally or spiritually to deal with it. For some of us, we're feeling really anxious and worried. We're feeling frustrated and maybe bored and agitated. Maybe we're just confused by what's going on. If that's you this morning, I want to promise you that God cannot be confined. And if you're finding you're making your bed in the depths, if life isn't good, if you're struggling, the promise here is that God is with you. He's not confined to Frinton Free Church or a building. He's everywhere. If you're a Christian this morning, he's inside of you. His spirit is inside of you. He is with you. The second thing that Paul addresses with this group of philosophers, having told them that God can't be confined, he then says to them that God wants to be found. That God wants to be found. You remember the Epicureans, they believed that God was far away and that you couldn't reach him. And the Stoics believed that God was impersonal. Well, Paul completely confronts them now, because he goes in verses 25 and 26, he paints this picture of God creating the world and suddenly having this very personal relationship with people. He says that he gives life and he gives breath to everybody. And then in verse 27, he says this: God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from anyone. What an incredible statement that is. And Paul says, actually, God has created the world because he wants a relationship with people. He wants to be found. To the Epicureans, Paul is suddenly saying to them, you know, God is close to you. To the Stoics, Paul is saying, God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to come and find him. And you know what? He says the same to each one of us today as well. God wants you to find him. Look at how he says. He says, reach out for him and find him. Reach out for God and find him. You know, God isn't practicing social distancing. He doesn't have to stay far away. He doesn't have to keep his distance from his creation. He says, reach out. Reach out and find me. I love how David also writes in the Psalms. He says this, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James quotes it in one of his letters. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is the relationship that God wants with us. He wants us to reach out for him, to seek him. And in doing that, we suddenly find that God comes very close to us. It's an interesting verb that he's using there, to reach out, isn't it? You see, to reach out, that requires an intentionality behind it, doesn't it? If you reach out for something, you're being purposeful. You've decided that you want that item or that you want that thing. And so you want it, and so you reach for it. I wonder, as we're in lockdown at the moment, as we can't go out of our homes as much as we want, have you decided that you want to reach out for God? Is that something that you've said, this is something I want to give time to, I want to put effort into? You know, some of you have been doing this, you know, for a very long time. You've been a Christian for maybe decades, and you've been reaching out to God. I want to encourage you, keep up that rhythm. Keep reaching out for Him. He wants to be found by you, and He's got new things about Himself that He wants to share with you. Maybe for some of us, this is a time where we need to reach out to God, and maybe we're doing that again. We did it years ago, but we need to do it, and we need to come back to Him again. If you've drifted away from God, if you haven't felt close to Him and had that personal relationship with Him, maybe now is the time to reach out to Him, because you will find Him. As you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. Maybe for some of you watching this now, this is something you need to do for the first time. You found yourself tuning in. Maybe somebody's pointed you in the direction of this service this morning and you've never reached out to God. But you know there's an emptiness. You know there's something missing in your life. Reach out to Him and find Him. God wants to be found. As I was thinking about this week, it reminded me of games that I play with my kids. As they were growing up, we would play hide and seek. I wonder if you've done that with your kids. And as a parent, you have to go off and hide from them. Now, maybe that's quite a good thing to do. Maybe in lockdown, some of us parents are trying to hide from our kids at the moment and just to get some space away from them. But when you're playing hide and seek as a parent, you have to give it away a bit, don't you? Because if you went and hide as well as you could, the kids would never find you in the attic or somewhere in your garage. They would never find you. And so what we do as parents when we play hide and seek, and the picture's there on the screen, is maybe we hide behind some curtains, but you leave your feet poking out a little bit so they'll find you. And when they come in the room, maybe you and you cough a little bit, so just to give it away, because you don't want to be hiding for too long. Well, it made me think, you know, about God. You know, God wants to be found. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to reach out for Him and do something intentional to find Him. But He's not hiding away from us so that He can't be found. He gives Himself away. Whether that's reading scripture and we go, wow, God is saying that to me. Maybe it's in our prayer life. Maybe it's in something what somebody says to us. Or maybe when we're out walking and doing our daily exercise at the moment, we see a great sunrise or a sunset or just something, a view, and we go, wow, God's incredible. He's giving Himself away all the time. And here Paul is saying to us, he says, reach out. Be intentional. Look for Him. Seek Him. Because you will find Him. He wants us to do that. Keep praying. Or maybe start praying for the first time. Start being honest with God. Share your heart with Him. Read the Bible. Read some of the passages we've been looking at. Read some of the Psalms we've touched on this morning. And you will find Him. Use silence as well. Times of silence with God, just a few minutes of sitting silently and saying to God, I'm here, I'm reaching out to you in this silence, is incredibly powerful. God wants to be found in silence. And in Sabbath as well, in our times of rest, God wants us to find Him as well. I wonder if you're still putting a Sabbath aside at the moment, even in lockdown. We need to reach out to God. He says, reach out and you will find me. And we need to do this, because when we reach out and when we find God, we realize that in Him there is life. Look at what Paul finally says in verse 28. Incredible verse. He says, for in Him, for in God, we live and move and have our being. In God, we live and move and have our being. In God, when we find Him, we find there's life in Him. I don't know if you've read anything over the last few days or weeks of people giving advice in the newspapers or online about how to survive a lockdown or how to survive an isolated situation. I found an article that Major Chris Hadfield wrote. Now, you might remember Chris Hadfield. He was on the International Space Station for a number of months a few years ago and was making videos of life as an astronaut while he was up there. Well, he's written, because obviously that's very isolated, being up there on the space station. He's written some advice, and he says, you know, we've got to have a schedule. If you're in lockdown, you've got to have a schedule, have a plan for each day. He says, yeah, you've got to have exercise. Take your daily exercise. He advises people to shower and dress. I hope you have showered and dressed this morning, and that you're doing that every day, as if we need to be reminded to do that. We need to make plans for the future, he says, you know, for what's going to happen when lockdown finishes. Make plans and have dreams for what you can do. He says learn something new. Carry on talking to other people as well and have conversations online with people. And there's lots of advice like this around at the moment of how to survive. And it's all good. All of those things are good. And I would say, yeah, do all of those things. Make a schedule. Keep talking to people. Make plans for the future. Keep washing your body. That is a good thing to do. This is all good. But in God we live and move and have our being. You see, as good as all those things are, and as helpful as they are, it's in God that there is life. There is nothing better than you can do every day. There is nothing better that you can be intentional about every day than reaching out for God and meeting with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in every moment of your day. He is not far from you. He wants to be found. In him there is life. And Paul references that life at the end of the passage where he talks about Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus after he was put to death on the cross. Jesus conquered death and came back to life so that we can know what life is really all about. And so that Paul can stand up in Athens and say, in him we live and move and have our being. We find life in him because he is life. He conquered death, and in him we find life. There is nothing better than you can do than to reach out to him and find him. So let me just recap the two things that we've thought about this morning. And they are this, that God cannot be confined. He cannot be confined, and he wants to be found by you. God cannot be confined, and he wants you to find him. So what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do? How's that going to impact your life this week? Just that thought that God is here with me. He's everywhere I go. He's in my home with me. He's on my walk. He's everywhere I go. And he wants to be found by you. How's that going to impact you this week?